Shortly after we moved into Jungle Village, we encountered an unexpected problem. We didn't have any water to drink. Well, there was a river. Everybody got their water from a river, ran right through the middle of the village. But cows usually came down there and got a drink and pooped in the river. And then some water buffaloes would come down and drink and poop in the river. And pigs and cats and dogs would come down and poop in the river. And humans actually would come and drink and poop in the river. So when we came there, the infant mortality rate was about 75% because of the polluted water that they were feeding their children and babies. And we didn't want to be a statistic, so to speak. So we looked around for something else to drink. Well, we found a well that was about 3 miles away, and we got some big plastic jugs, and we hauled water from a well in our Jeep every day. But that wasn't really good, because after a couple days, there'd be this green slime that would grow on the inside of the jug, and you know, in that kind of heat, we drink you know, sometimes 2 and sometimes 3 gallons of water a day. So the problem was we needed a better source of fresh water. And I wasn't really keen either, and the well was only about 10 feet deep, and so it adds a lot of groundwater and pollution and trash around it. In fact, they actually later closed the well off because it started a cholera epidemic. But, you know, the Lord blessed, and we drank what we had, and we kept alive. But I was determined to get some other kind of form of water. So over there, they drive wells. So that you get a piece of pipe that's about 2 inches in diameter, and you weld this point on it, and then you cut some slots in it for the water to come in, and you just pound it down. Well, I pounded it down about 25 feet, and we didn't hit any water. Then I thought, well, I'll dig a well. So strangely, nobody would help me, because they're afraid that you dig a big hole in the ground and the spirits that are in the ground will come up and hurt them. So, you know, I'm out there in the sun digging. I got down about 10 feet, and we hit this solid rock. It would take dynamite to go through it. So I had to abandon my well. Well, then I did some exploring. I found a spring that's coming out of the side of the mountain about 2,000 feet up, right behind our house. And I, with much difficulty, and I could tell a couple other stories about how we finally got a nice cement tank around that spring and piped it down to the village. I built another 1,200-gallon tank. And then we had three faucets going out to different places of the village, and we had a pipe going to our house, so we all had running water. And once the people started drinking it, oh, that was the best tasting water I think I've ever tasted, was from that spring. Clear, cold. The infant mortality rate dropped to like 1% because we had all these babies that were drinking, you know, fresh, clear water. When we think of water, we think how good it tastes when the throat is parched and dry. And, you know, think of our bathrooms. We wash our hands. We take a bath. We take a shower. You know, we wash our hair. We brush our teeth, flush the toilet. You know, if we didn't have water, it's called an outhouse, and it's not real pleasant. Or our kitchens. You know, we wash our hands. We cook our meals, wash dishes. Dishwasher uses water. We get glasses of water. Ice maker uses water. We wash the floor. You know, without water, a kitchen is called an outdoor campfire. Water is the ordinary stuff of life. It's part of our everyday living. You know, some people say that America is the breadbasket of the world, but, you know, I've traveled and been about 55, 58 countries, and I'm telling you that America is also the water bucket of the world. It has so much good water compared to most other countries. We don't know how privileged we are. But water is an essential part of our lives, and our bodies are made to want it. Have you been real thirsty? Have you ever been really thirsty? You know, a small boy was sent to bed by his father, and 5 minutes later, "Dad!" "Yes?" "I'm thirsty. Can you bring me a drink of water?" "No, you had your chance. Lights out. Go to bed." 5 minutes later, "Dad!" "What?" "I'm thirsty. Can I have a drink of water?" "I told you no. If you ask again, I'll have to spank you." 5 minutes later, "Dad!" "What?" "When you come to spank me, will you bring me a glass of water?" We're thirsty, you know, we need it. My body, here's some statistics for you. My body is 70% water. Now, it's hard to imagine that there's 70% flesh standing before you here that is water, but it's true. This is water. That means about 150 pounds of water standing here, and I'm not going to tell you how much I weigh, but about 70% of my body weight is water. Let me get this right. There's 2.5 quarts of water in my blood. There are 15 quarts of water in the extra plasma in my body. There are 30 quarts of water in the cells of my body, allowing those little cells to grow. Truly, I'm living water. Now, some people say I'm a big bag of wind. My wife says I'm a big bag of hot air. But you know, in reality, I'm a big bag of water, a big bag of living water. Water is important to our diets. We can't live without water. It's actually more important than food. You know, we can live for up to 30 days sometimes without food, but we can't go more than 1 or 2, 3 days at the most, depending on the temperature, without water. With water so important to our physical bodies, you know, it's no wonder that Jesus used it as a spiritual symbol. And if you take your Bible today and open it to John chapter 7, we're going to look at our text today. John chapter 7, and let's begin with verse 37. On the last day of that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now the Jews were celebrating in this feast that this is referring to. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles. And during that time, the Jews would go out and they'd cut down branches and build themselves little booths. And they would live in these booths for 7 days. And it reminded them of their forefathers wandering in the wilderness. And every day, if you look into the ceremony, the high priest would take this big golden cup and they would march through the streets of Jerusalem to the Pool of Siloam. And then he would fill it up with water, and then they would form this parade, and they would be marching back to the temple, and everybody would be singing and praising and waving palm branches and things. And when they got back to the temple, the priest would pour the water out on the sacrifice there on the altar. And they did this every day. But on the eighth day, which is what we were talking about, and they call that the greatest day of the feast, it's actually 7 days, so it's the day following that 7 days. They did not have the water ceremony. They had the sacrifices, and it was a quiet, solemn time where everybody examined their hearts and minds and rededicated themselves. So everybody knew when Jesus suddenly stood up and spoke about, you know, living water, everybody knew instantly what he was talking about. So it's against this backdrop of silence and symbolism that Jesus suddenly stands up and interrupts the ceremony by shouting, you know, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. People were shocked. How rude. How impolite. Why is he shouting about being thirsty? But Jesus knew his audience. In these three verses, Jesus proclaims himself to be the place where living water is found. Now, if you notice, he's not the living water himself, but he's the fountain where the living water can be found. But what is the living water? And Don stole my thunder. In the Jewish culture, living water was considered running water, like in a stream, and stagnant water, or like in a pond, was called dead water. So was that what Jesus was talking about? But no, what does the text say? The living water was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it says in here, verse 8, or 39. It's the Holy Spirit that comes to the sinner and shows him his need of salvation in John 16, 8. It's the Holy Spirit that applies the word of God in conviction. We can find that in John 6, 44. It's the Holy Spirit that baptizes the new believer into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. It's the Holy Spirit that fills the believer and uses him for the glory of God, Ephesians 5, 18. So if the Holy Spirit is the water of life, then Jesus is the fountain of living water. And before the water of life could be dispensed to a lost and dying world, the fountain of living water had to be opened. It's just like digging a well. It requires, you know, earth to be torn open so that the life-giving water can come up and the Spirit can flow freely. Jesus allowed himself to be mocked and beaten and spit upon and crucified just so he could be opened up and allow that life-giving water to flow to humanity. Let's say you're in your kitchen and you have an empty pitcher. And you go over to the sink, you fill the pitcher, and then you go and put it in the refrigerator. And then later when you pour out a glass of clear, cold, refreshing water, tastes good, doesn't it? Jesus wants to pour his Spirit into your life. You are the cold water jug. Jesus is the water faucet. And the Holy Spirit is the water. We need our inner spirits filled up from day to day with the endless supply of Jesus, who is symbolized by the water spigot and its endless supply of the water. When you believe in Jesus, Jesus pours out his Spirit. And then that love and Spirit, in turn, flows back out of us. Living water, that's the love of Christ and the compassion of Christ. The gentleness of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ, the very attitude and character of Christ. Or let's imagine that you're a dry creek bed. There's nothing there but a few sand and rocks, maybe some green slime over there in the corner. By the way, that's actually some of our people's spiritual lives are dry and dead, it seems like. Now just imagine there's this little trickle of water going down. Nothing really big enough for fish or anything to live in. That's kind of like Christians that try to get by with like 4-minute prayers a day. Have a little stream of water. Now imagine there's this huge dam upriver, and behind the dam there's this huge giant reservoir of water. And the sluice gates in the dam are open, and that water's just coursing down through the dam, and it fills up this creek. And there's rapids, and there's water flowing, and there's trout, and there's salmon or whatever kinds of fish that are in there, you know. And it nourishes the land and the trees around it. You know, you have big overhanging trees. And, you know, that's what God wants us to be like. You know, you and I are the creek. Jesus is the reservoir. From the endless supply of reservoir, the Holy Spirit's love flows into our lives. And it's not our love or water. It's the water and love from the reservoir that flows into the creek. That's what Jesus wants. He doesn't want you to have a tiny bit of spirit. He wants you to have rivers of Holy Spirit flowing into you and then in turn out. I think that's what Christianity is all about. When Jesus comes into our heart in a full measure. I'd like to look at three aspects of this water. First thing is, we need to only drink from Jesus. Sometimes to satisfy our thirst, we drink the first thing that comes along. Just like our natives drank from the convenient but polluted river. You know, we're tempted to drink what the world has right there for us. But drinking worldly water actually leaves us emptier and more dehydrated than before. Instead of cholera or dysentery, we begin to lust after earthly things and ways of living. And, you know, Jesus says he's the fountain of living water, and that's truly the only kind of water that can satisfy our souls. I don't have a TV, but when I did, there was this commercial, maybe it's still on, that the Snickers says if you eat it, you'll be satisfied because it really satisfies you. Eat one tomorrow and you'll be looking for another one and another one and another one. But just one trip to Jesus' fountain is enough to satisfy you forever. Let's not be led into drinking the things of the world. I mean, at first they might taste pretty good. We think we'll be satisfied if only we had money for this or that, or nice house, nice sports car, or maybe it's fame or power, whatever you're thirsting for. But all these things are just mirages. They're not real. Because nothing else can satisfy the way Jesus can. Second point. We can have all the water in the world, but unless we actually drink it, it won't help us. There was a ship that foundered off the coast of South America, and it sank, but the crew was able to get into a lifeboat. And for days and days, they drifted around, and of course, the sun was beating down, and they had no water. They began to, their lips would swell, their tongue swells up, and one by one, they began to die from lack of water. Finally, one day, they saw a ship on the horizon that was coming right towards them, and they began screaming and waving their hands, and the ship came up, and they said, "Water! We need water! Water!" And the people in the boat said, "Just let your bucket down and get some." And they thought at first they were being mocked. You know, salt water. You drink salt water, it actually makes you thirstier. But you see, they had floated into the area where the Amazon River pushes the fresh water out over 60 miles into the ocean. And all they had to do was just dip their buckets and they would have had fresh water. Imagine the irony of those shipwrecked people dying of thirst when all around them was fresh water they needed, free for the taking. But are we any better? How often do we talk about living water, but we never actually drink it? Like Don shared with the woman at the well, Jesus said, "Whoever drinks of the water I'll give him will never thirst again." In Revelation 21:6, Jesus says that he is the fountain of the water of life, and he gives it freely to anyone who's thirsty. But both of these texts show that, you know, you can't just look at the water, you actually have to drink of the water in order to have that water of life. You know, you can attend church services all your life and you could still be thirsty. You can have lots of religious books on your shelves and you can still be thirsty. You can do a lot of good things for God and still be thirsty. You know, I can fix myself a glass of water, but it won't do me any good until I actually put the glass to my lips and I tip it up and let the water drain out into my body. I'm afraid that many of us stop short of inviting him into our lives. Please don't be guilty of doing that. Until you actually drink the living water, you'll never be satisfied. How many of us actually crave Jesus Christ? I mean, crave it to the point that you can't think of anything else. You want him so bad that nothing else matters. How many of us have such an intense longing to study him that it's the highest priority in our lives and that we'll do anything to obtain that kind of water? I'm wondering what our church would look like if all of us were that focused and intense on Jesus Christ. The third, Jesus promises that if we drink the water, that we in turn will become living water, pouring out to others. He didn't promise a stream or a trickle. He promises river, and not one river, it says rivers. That's a lot of water coming out. The main reason Jesus gives us the water of life is so that we can pass it on. It's not for us. It's not for this little privileged few here or there. It's for the world. This is our present reality. Christ has left us here, his church, to continue the ongoing task of spreading the gospel, sharing his love. He'll enable us to do it. His love, his life, will be passed on to others that they may in turn see the truth and become and come to believe. This story is told of a young student who went to his spiritual teacher and asked the question. He says, "Master, how can I truly find God?" The teacher said, "Why don't you come on a walk with me?" They walked down to the river, and the teacher said, "Let's go into the river." So they walk out into the middle of the river, and the water's up here. And the teacher said, "Now immerse yourself." So the boy went underwater. And then the master put his hands over his head and held him under. Presently, the student began to struggle, but the master continued to hold him down. And then as the moments passed, the student began thrashing and beating the water with his arms. And still the master held him under, and he began to wonder if he was going to drown. Finally, the student was released. He shot up in the air, and he took a huge breath of air. The teacher waited for a moment, and he said, "When you desire God as truly as you desire to breathe the air you just breathed, then you will find him." I would like to challenge each of us to put Jesus Christ at such a priority in our lives that we're going to crave him as much as that student craved air. That we're going to do whatever it takes to be close to Christ, to drink his word, to pray, to share that relationship and become streams of living water to others. Let's renew our commitment to bypass the world's polluted rivers and to drink only of the water of life. Let's commit to drinking it deeply so we can in turn nourish others with our streams of living water. Father, that's the prayer of our hearts right now, is to fill our cups. Father, we want to drink deeply from your word, from you. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. And Father, bring that latter rain that you talk about, where the Holy Spirit falls on this world in such a measure that everyone can make a decision and we can go home. We want that living water, Father. We long for that living water. We ask for it, and we know that you'll give it to us. Be with us this coming week that we may truly share that love with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.